Good morning.
Good morning.
Open your Bible to Mark chapter 16. There are some here that I don't know, and in my home assembly in Randall, North Carolina, I'm preaching through the book of Mark. I've been there for some years. And I'm in Mark chapter 16. It brought me to a woman that we will look at briefly this morning. You know her well, Mary Magdalene is her name. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. Mark chapter 16 and verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. Let's read verse 9. And when Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask your blessing upon our time this morning that we might look at our lives, that we might look at Mary Magdalene. Ultimately, Father, that we might see the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Many of you don't know my father, but my father's a baseball man. He loves all sports. But if the truth is told, he really loves baseball. More than any other sport. He loves the Lord as well. I know my father's flaws. I know them well. You might not know them, but I know them. But I also saw my father every morning of my life reading the Word of God. And that's how much he loves the Lord. I've seen it evident in his life. You can see it in his schedule. He's a man that loves the Lord's people and loves the Lord. If you said to my father, would you rather your son, that would be me, I'm the only one, Paul. If you could rewind time and go back many, many years and you said to my father, do you want Stephen to be a godly man or do you want him to be a rich man? He'd say, I want him to be a godly man. He'd say, do you want Stephen to be a handsome man or do you want him to be a godly man? I want him to be a godly man. If you said, do you want Stephen to be a great baseball player or do you want him to be a godly man? He'd pause. He'd think. And he'd say, I want to be a godly man. He would think about it for a moment. There's a term out there in baseball. It's called a five-tool player. I was not one. Five-tool baseball players means that you can run fast. Not that you can run, but that you can run with exceptional speed. That you can catch the ball. Not just a routine grounder, not just a routine pop fly. But you have exceptional skill to catch the ball. That you can throw the ball. That you can throw it from the outfield, throw somebody out at third, throw somebody out at the plate. That you can throw the baseball accurately and far and fast. That you can hit with two things, both with average and with power. You can hit the single, you can hit the home run. It's called a five-tool player. What we want to do this morning is we want to look at the life quickly, honestly, in the next 25 minutes. We're going to look at the life of Mary Magdalene. And she has the attributes of a five-tool believer, if I can say it that way. And so often we look at attributes or the lives of those in Scripture. We'll say, well, let's look at the life of Joseph, or let's look at the life of Daniel. Let's look at the life, briefly this morning, of Mary Magdalene. And praise the Lord for the example that she sets in Scripture. For not many are like this woman. Now, I'm going to challenge you, even though you don't know me, many of you, see a few faces that don't know me. Many of you don't know me, but I am serious about this. What I don't want you to do is one thing. That's all I ask. I want you to do one thing when I speak this message. I don't want you to think, I wish my spouse was here. I'm serious. I don't want you to say, this would be relevant to my son who's 35 years old, or my daughter who's 40 years old, or my grandchildren who are 20 years old. I'm asking you to look at your life. And I'm asking you to look through the Spirit of God. We're not going to take a survey. I have to do the same exercise. In fact, I did it more in-depthly because I put this message together. I'm asking you to look at your life and see, are these attributes of Mary Magdalene, are they attributes of my life? Am I like this woman who loved the Lord Jesus Christ so? This is not for your spouse. This is not for your children. This is not for you to sit and to ponder anything else other than your life and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we like to challenge people. It's good. It is good. No one has challenged themselves more with this message than me. Let's turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And there were 12 with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 demons, and Joanne, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, who ministered unto him out of their substance. First thing I want you to see is it doesn't say that they ministered unto him out of their abundance. Do you see that? Look at the word. Does it say that they ministered to him out of their abundance? It does not. What it does say in the scripture is that these women, Mary Magdalene being one, ministered to the Lord out of their substance. In other words, they ministered to the Lord with what they had, with what God had given them. I don't know if they were rich or poor. I don't assume that they were rich. But the point is that the scripture is very telling here, because it says that they ministered unto him out of their substance, what they had. Praise the Lord for that. There's no excuse for you. There's no excuse for me. Neither rich nor poor, old nor young, we minister. And I want you to see something that we have lost in a lot of our evangelical churches. We have lost. I want you to see the first thing that is mentioned here. It's not about serving those that love the Lord. I want you to see the first thing in Luke chapter 8 and verse 3. The first tool of this five-tool believer, if we could say it that way, is that she ministered unto the Lord. And so often in Christendom, we're ready to minister to others. We're ready to serve others. We're ready to teach Sunday school or to do this or to that and praise the Lord for these things. But if in your life you have missed, if in your life it is not prevalent, if in your life it is not first, there's a problem. And you say, what is that? To minister unto the Lord. Well, we don't teach that. We don't preach that. But here in the life of Mary Magdalene, it says first that she ministered unto the Lord. Now we know the doctrine. We know the doctrine and the teaching. It is the Lord that loved her first. It is the Lord that cast those demons out. It is the Lord that found her when she was possessed with 7 demons and cast them out. We understand that, nor are we missing that fact. But what we want to impress on our hearts today, what we want to do as we look at our lives, is say, am I, or is there in my life, is there a ministry to the heart of the Lord? Am I ministering to the Almighty? My dad were here today. He's not. But if he were here, he would take you to passages. We won't turn there, but you can write them down or remember them so that you might go back later today and read them. He would take you to Ezekiel 44. He'd take you to Ezekiel 45. He would show you about these sons of Zadok who ministered unto the Lord. These Old Testament priests. And say, we're a New Testament priesthood. We're praise the Lord for the role that the Lord has given us to minister to the heart of God. If that's not there in your life, that's a problem. Because it's the first thing that she did. And we believe. We it's not religion. We take these things seriously based on the doctrine, based on the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's far from religion. We believe based on the scriptures that when New Testament believers gather, when we gather, and we can do it individually. So talk to a man named Tom Taylor who died many years ago from somewhere out in Pennsylvania. I never knew him or spent any time with him except at Scout and Bible Conference. And he would talk about how he ministered to the heart of God sometimes, in a t-shirt and shorts. It doesn't have to be corporate, but when it is corporate, it's a beautiful thing. Because we don't gather here because we love motorcycles. We don't gather here because we're all Coastal Carolina fans. We gather here because we've come. There's the breaking of bread to knit our hearts together around the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to minister the heart of God. To go to the Father and tell Him truly how much we love the Son. Amen. And how much He's done for us. And what He means to us. And how we were without hope, but yet Jesus Christ gave us hope through his death, burial, and resurrection, and how we've been grafted into the family of God, and how we've been made the bride of Christ, and the essence and the truth of it is, if our hearts are right, it's a big if sometimes. I'll be at another Lord's Supper today at 4 o'clock if I can get there. And I want to tell you that there's been times in my life that I've been at the Lord's Supper, that I've been with the Christians, and my heart's not been right. But I mean if your heart's right. I mean, if you've been enjoying the Lord all week, and you gather with the people of God, and our hearts are literally knitted in spirit together, and there's praise, and there's adoration, and we take the name and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we send it to the nostril of the Father. That is the ministry that we can have to please the Almighty and to minister to Him. We don't care how much you're worth. We don't care what you own. We worship the Lord. And we minister the heart of God out of our substance. There is nothing sweeter to the nostril of the Almighty than the Lord's people gathering together and saying, we love Him. Praise the Lord for your Son. As He sits at His right hand. I ask you a question today. Just one question. Mary Magdalene, in Luke chapter 8 and verse 3, it said of her that she began, as soon as those demons were cast out, that she began to minister unto Him. Do you minister unto Him? Is that part of your life? I know it's part of hers. Let's go to Mark 14. Excuse me, Mark 15. It's just so many passages in Scripture that are so profound. And we read them because we've been reading them oftentimes in our lives since we were young boys and girls in Sunday school. And we hear these messages and we hear these passages. And I think to myself, don't turn there, but I think to myself about Luke chapter 2. And there's a tax collector at the table. Levi, or Matthew, we might say, son of Alphaeus. And Jesus Christ walks by. In the midst of everything, did Matthew have a mortgage or rent? Probably. Did he have responsibility? Did he have a job? Was he different than you or me? Did he have plans for Monday? Did he have dinner reservations on Tuesday? Did he have something that was very important to accomplish on Wednesday? Absolutely. But when Jesus Christ walked by, He simply said this, Matthew, son of Alphaeus. I'll tell you what He didn't say. Let's go to the beach. Nothing wrong with Myrtle Beach. I preach these messages, you know, many miles from the beach. Matthew, son of Alphaeus, I have a lake house. Matthew, son of Alphaeus, let's go eat. He simply said this, and I love the reaction. Matthew, son of Alphaeus, follow me. Follow me. It is literally, oftentimes, the Lord Jesus Christ's first words to His disciples. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, Matthew, son of Alphaeus. I know you have responsibilities. I know you have bills. I know you have things that are important. But what is important in life is to follow me. Matthew, son of Alphaeus, follow me. And the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ got up and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. He would say later in Scripture, take up your cross. Take up your cross. If there's anyone who reads the Scriptures and comes to the conclusion that to be a believer is to have no worries, no issues, plenty of money, wonderful family, no problems, what are they reading?
Not the Bible.
Not the Bible. You take up your cross, Jesus Christ would say, and you follow me. Guys, we take up our cross when we go to die. We take up our cross when our life is required. And Jesus Christ never minced words. He never did a bait and switch. He never said, take up your cross and follow me to the lake house. He would say, take up your cross and follow me. This is the life of the believer. And we read it time and again. And if you study not only the actual disciples, but if you study followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see throughout Scripture verses like this. And it's just given time and again in Scripture, time and again. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 40. I'm going to actually go up so I can come back to this point in a few minutes. I'm going to actually go up to verse 37 so that you see the context. and we'll bring it back up in just a minute. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion who stood facing him saw that he cried out, he gave up the spirit. He said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And there were also women looking afar off, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him. You see that? We'll come back to that passage. But the point is, you always see the followers of Jesus Christ following him. And in our culture, and in our society today, we have often in Christianity, we often focus and we grasp the point that Jesus Christ is our Savior. This message this morning is mostly for the believers. I don't know what your faith is in or who your faith is in, but this message primarily is for believers. But if you're an unbeliever today, I want to tell you something. We preach, we talk, we say, and praise the Lord for these things, that Jesus Christ is our Savior. But I want you to remember a passage where the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ came to Thomas. Remember Doubting Thomas in John chapter 20? He didn't say, Jesus Christ, my Savior. You know what he said? And we have forgotten this. He said, my Lord, my God. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And praise the Lord for that. That it should be the meditation of our hearts. That it should be on our mind. That it should bring joy in the midst of sorrows and turmoils and storms. I want you to remember that when we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, He is not your co-pilot. He is not your buddy. He is your Lord. And we follow Him. We do not disobey the word and the instruction of our Lord. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And every aspect of that word, both in reality and the Word of God, we follow Him. Now I ask you, not your spouse, not your son, not your daughter, I ask you, truly, truly, do you follow Jesus Christ? I know the one who did. She's a hero of mine. Her name is Mary Magdalene. About 2 months ago, as we go into our third point, about 2 months ago, I was at a basketball game. We have this varsity basketball team. My daughter plays varsity basketball for the girls' team. We have this varsity basketball team. And there's athletes on this team. Tremendous athletes. That's a little point guard. His name's Brody. He's about 140 pounds and does not look like a basketball player, but he is. They had a blue and white scrimmage early in the year. 6'2 varsity guys who can dunk the basketball and shoot three-pointers. They had a team scrimmage. And Brody was on one team. At halftime of the team scrimmage early in the year, the team that Brody was playing with, this little 140-pound white point guard who doesn't look very important, doesn't look very good, his team was up 10 points. They put him on the other team at halftime. And his team won by 10 points the other time. He's a player. He might not look like a player, but he's a player. He's my favorite one to watch. About 2 months ago, we were in a gym in Mount Pleasant, North Carolina, which is somewhere near Concord, Cabarrus County, north of Charlotte. And I just happened to see Brody go up for the ball. It was kind of like a loose ball scene. The ball popped up in the air, and Brody went up for the ball at midcourt. And when I saw him come down, I saw his leg. It wasn't a twisted ankle. I'm not going to go into it. But have you ever seen one of these scenes? They'll play the Super Bowl tonight, in case you're not aware. Have you ever seen one of these scenes where the leg snaps? You know, it breaks here. And I watched him come down. And I saw his leg break. And as it were, his parents were above me. You know, we're sitting in the bleachers and they're like a couple seats above me. And there's Brody in the middle of the court. Now, no one really, a lot of folks didn't see it. I just happened to be looking, I'll say it this way, at the wrong place at the wrong time. And I saw his leg break where it should not break. And he fell to the floor. And in the midst of the noise of the gym, he turned and looked at his parents, which were right above me. It was like he was looking at me, Jim, but he wasn't. But right above me. And he began to scream. In agony. You know what I did? This is cowardice. You know what I did? I walked out. I knew it was coming. In 5 seconds, the gym was silent, and it was agony and screams. You know what I did? I walked out. Now, I realized it was a cowardice act about 5 steps down the bleachers, about every the time everybody else was figuring out. So I pulled out my phone, Paul, so that I could remain have some sort of honor and called 911. I was the one calling 911. I was the one on the phone with 911 as they came in. Their initial thought was just to get out because I didn't want to hear the cries. To get out because I didn't want to hear the agony and the pain. I love Brody. We love Brody. He's done. He's a senior. He's done. But I didn't want to hear the cries and the agony, and it was there. And I was outside of the gym the entire time on the phone so I could play the part of the good guy who went out and called 911. I was there with the ambulance. The ambulance, praise the Lord for this, but the ambulance was just right around the corner a few miles away. They were there quickly, and I'm telling these guys, you go in there and help him. I don't know what that is. I don't know what kind of shot you have. I'm far from a medical degree, but this kid's in pain and agony. That leg snapped in two. I left the gym because I didn't want to hear it. I don't know if I could stomach it. There's my daughter. There are these girls crying in the hall. And it's still quiet in the gym, and he's moaning, and he's in agony. Get him. Stick him with something that he might have some relief. Somewhat of a cowardice act. I didn't mean it that way. I just got up and left because I was 5 steps down the bleachers when I thought I might as well call 911, and all these things kind of came at once. And it was just, it's a terrible scene. It still scarred our team. Let me tell you what the Bible says. We miss this a lot. And it doesn't say it once. And it doesn't say it twice. But in the 4 gospel accounts, 3 times, and I just read one for you in Mark's Gospel, in Mark chapter 15. 3 times, 3 out of the 4 Gospels, you will see the Lord Jesus Christ cry with a loud voice. You will see the Scriptures, you will see the Gospels then point to the centurion who said, this is a righteous man, or this is a, truly this was the Son of God. You will see that in 3 of the 4. And 3 of the 4 Gospels, immediately following this verse, that's why I read that for context, you will see the Spirit of God instruct the writer of the gospel to show you that these women were there. And I said all that to tell you that Mary Magdalene was loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would have been easier not to be there. Would it have been easier not to watch our beloved Lord Jesus Christ suffer and bleed and die? I got a point guard that I barely know, but I love to watch play. And he broke his leg, and I'm leaving the gym. You know why I'm leaving the gym? Because I don't want to hear the moans. I don't want to hear the agony. But Mary Magdalene watched him there. Mary Magdalene was loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't leaving. And 3 out of 4 gospel accounts, it's not me, it's the Spirit of God, points to 3 out of 4 gospel accounts. He cried with a loud voice. The centurion, and then immediately the Spirit of God wants us to look at loyalty. Because there's a band of women, Mary Magdalene of whom is one, who is loyal to Jesus Christ. She ministered unto him. She followed him. And she was loyal to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter if he's in agony. Doesn't matter if his cries are awful. She will not leave him. She would be there. And the Spirit of God in 3 out of 4 Gospels, make sure we see it. I ask you, are you loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you loyal? I know this. I have no idea if you are loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I know with a fact, with certainty, that Jesus Christ is loyal to you. He would say these things. Loyalty is important in the Christian life. Jesus Christ would preach and teach things. Deny me before men. Deny me before men, and I'll deny you before my Father. Be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the culture will come. And the naysayers will come. You stand loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Mary Magdalene. I wasn't in the gym for 5 seconds after this young man broke his leg, but she stood by the cross of Calvary. And the Spirit of God, through the hand of men, 3 out of 4 Gospels, will not let us miss that she stood there and she stayed there and she was loyal. We need loyalty in the family of God.
That's an attribute of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about this? She honored him in his death. Go back to Matthew 16. She's probably still there. Look across the page. Wasn't Simon. Wasn't Bartholomew. She was loyal. Verse 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher, the rising of the sun. She honored him in his death. She honored Jesus Christ in his death. Where were the 12 disciples? I don't know. Somewhere in a room scared to death. Where were the men? I'm not sure. But Mary Magdalene honored Jesus Christ in his death. And one of the things I want to challenge you with is, do you honor our Savior in his death? Now, I'm kind of making light of it. He's a wonderful man. I can tell you my father's flaws and his problems. I know them better than almost anyone. So we're not elevating man. But for his entire life, adult life, I should say, he has made a priority to honor Jesus Christ in many ways, none greater by his attendance, by his heart, by his mindset, none greater than in the Lord's Supper, to remember and to honor his death. Let me tell you who did that. Mary Magdalene. Point number five, and I love this one. She ministered to the body of Christ. Is that not what happened? Did she not come bringing, in verse 1, sweet spices that they may come and anoint him? Now listen, it's not going to be hard for us to shift this and to understand this. But if you think that we're talking about anointing a body, you're wrong. We're talking about ministering to the body of Jesus Christ. And if you don't know who that is, look around. Look around. Look at who you should minister to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did she honor him in his death? Absolutely. Did she come seeking to minister to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, she did. What does that mean? Look at these people. I know some of you are from Canada or from Tennessee. But by and large, when I preach this to our assembly, when I preach this to different groups of believers, look around. Mike, you see who you love? It's very clear. You minister to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Got to minister to him first. We made that point already. But when I gather in Randolph, North Carolina, and I'll be there, Lord willing, 3-hour drive this afternoon, those are the people that I love. When Erica, who's a single mom in our midst, when she needs a babysitter, we don't say no. We don't say no. She has no other option. We don't say no. Doesn't matter. When someone has a financial need, we know their life, we know their lifestyle, we know they're working hard, we know these are legit. When there's a need, we minister to the Lord's people. When someone comes in, and we know the struggles and the issues of their life, and it's a Wednesday night, Bobby, and they're quiet, we know we need to go see them. We minister to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is your role. This is your responsibility. Is he your Savior and your Master? Then obey him. Minister to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Love your family, your niece, your nephew, your brother, your sister. Absolutely. But you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you love his body. And you care for these people. And I want to tell you, I'll challenge you. If there's one here that annoys you, if there's one here that you'd just rather not see, if there's one here that your personalities don't mesh with, you find him. You love him. You make him your priority or her your priority. You love the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. You minister to these people. You love these people. I know it's the South. Praise the Lord for it. We have this Southern culture, Bonnie, where we say things like this. I'm going to pray for you, Bonnie. No, you pray for him. You cast out that Southern culture where we say these things. And you get on your face before the Lord. And you pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ. And you love them. And you care for them. And you, sounds radical, you devote your life to them. and you minister to the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you follow Him and you be loyal to Him. And you honor Him in His death. Praise the Lord. These things are meant for you. This challenge is for your ear and for mine. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and for all that we have in Him. As we simply think of this wonderful woman who loved the Lord Jesus Christ and who followed Him and who ministered to Him and who was loyal to Him and who honored His death and who ministered to His body. Father, we take these challenges from the Spirit of God that we might live and that we might be seen and that folks would look at our life and say, this person must know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in His name. Amen.